Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The river was deep, but I swam it.
Janet. From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.
Janet. I've one thing to say, and that's, damn it, Janet, I love you.
Brad and Janet are a hopelessly square, straight couple pulled into a transgressive and outrageous world in the 1975 movie The Rocky Horror Picture Show. For decades, costumed fans have frolicked at midnight showings around the country. For more than 40 years, it's created freedom and community for outsiders, especially the LGBTQ community. Now, it's the newest TV musical on Fox. This hour on Point, a Rocky Horror reboot and its meaning in a new millennium. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. Are you a Rocky Horror regular? Did you see trailblazing trans actor Laverne Cox in last night's show on Fox? What did you think? Does this show still get you going? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. Joining me now from Culver City, California, is Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. He watched last night's Fox reboot of the Rocky Horror Picture Show and is here to tell us about it. Dan Feinberg, welcome to On Point.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
First of all, what's happening here? Why is the Rocky Horror Picture Show suddenly out? It's out again. It's on TV. It's a musical. What's the trend line here? What's going on?
Well, I think the trend line is that live events have been kind of the holy grail for TV networks for a couple of years now. You want to get audiences who are watching all together and basically staying for the commercials. They want an audience that is stuck and glued to the TV, and live events are a way of doing that. So NBC started the trend a few years ago with the Carrie Underwood Sound of Music, and it's carried through to this. Except
you had Peter Pan, you had The Wiz, you had Grease, they got Hairspray coming this year, but last night, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, as far as I can tell, was not live.
Indeed, it was not. And I think a lot of viewers probably expected it to be and probably were somewhat surprised to discover that it was indeed filmed. And to me, it felt fairly canned, probably more canned than any Rocky Horror Picture Show should really ever feel.
Do you think American television executives could have imagined in 1975, when this was kind of an art house, freaky show that got a huge following, ultimately cult following around the country, could they have imagined that this would be on regular network television in this country with all of its out there themes, LGBTQ, transvestite, trans everything, that they could have imagined this being just on TV?
Oh, certainly not. And I think it's one of the funny things about the Rocky Horror phenomenon is that this was once something that was, as you said, very transgressive, very rebellious, very outlandish. And now it's something that could be done in just about any high school in the country without anyone blinking an eye. And that is an interesting thing about it, and it also limits what the musical that aired on Fox last night did. To me, it was not at all outlandish or outrageous, and therefore, if it wasn't that, what was it?
Well, it's certainly an artifact of a time that's kept going in movie houses across the country. I think there's still something like 90 theaters that weekly or monthly have midnight showings of the Rocky Horror Picture Show where people come in costume and there's a whole ritual of interaction that can get pretty wild there, dancing the aisles and throwing and talking back to the screen and responding. All the way back in 1975, of course, the story was this square couple that's out at night, they got a flat tire, newlyweds, and they pull over at this crazy castle and in Ohio somewhere, but there's this Transylvanian trans everything, big convention party going on. You have Brad Myers, Majors, in the show played by Barry Bostwick. He gets angry at Dr. Frankenfurter, played in the original by Tim Curry, for not being able to use the phone and summon help for him and his fiancée Janet, played then by Susan Sarandon.
It's not often we receive visitors here, let alone offer them hospitality.
Hospitality? All we wanted to do was to use your telephone, goddammit, a reasonable request, which you've chosen to ignore.
Yeah, don't be ungrateful.
Ungrateful?
How forceful you are, Brad. Such a perfect specimen of manhood. So dominant.
And things get pretty wild from there in the 1975 original. Here from last night, Fox's reboot of the Rocky Horror Picture Show, this is Laverne Cox. We'll talk about Laverne taking on the role of Dr. Frankenfurter. Here she is singing Sweet Transvestite.
Don't get strung out by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite.
From the reboot of the Rocky Horror Picture Show last night on Fox Network Television. And of course, here's one change right here, Dan. Laverne Cox, of course, a transvestite, now playing the transvestite. That is not 1975 when you had Tim Curry.
It is certainly a sign of progress to have a trans actress in the lead role. And I think it's a sign of excellent progress on a societal level, but it does take away some of what was, I don't know, shocking, I guess, about the character as Tim Curry played it. And so,
why does it take away from the shocking quality to have an actual transvestite, beautiful actor, actress up there playing?
I believe she prefers trans, and I think that it doesn't so much take away from the character as it takes away from the idea that this is supposed to be shocking. And it doesn't take away from it in a negative way. It just takes something outlandish away from the story. And I think that so much of the original is about these two, as you say, these squares, Brad and Janet, entering into a world that they aren't prepared to fathom. And what that world represented in 1975 meant one thing coming out of the 60s. And they're not really like a 70s square couple. They're really a 50s square couple. It's all about sort of displacement of time to begin with. But I don't think that the movie that aired last night had a sense of what a Brad and Janet in 2016 are like, or what would be outlandish to the squares of 2016 or to 70s squares transposed today. And I think that that's something that's lost, because if you're not sitting there kind of blushing, watching this movie, you're not getting, I guess, the power of it. And I watched it without blushing. And I still remember when I went to my first midnight screening of Rocky Horror, how it really did make me a tiny bit uncomfortable. And that's what some of the pleasure was. And I wonder if a current audience gets uncomfortable really about anything anymore, but certainly about this.
Describe how and why it made you uncomfortable on your first visit, Dan. What goes on for listeners who haven't done a midnight screening somewhere with all the audience participation? What goes on that got you maybe blushing or squirming on your first Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Well, I was a 15 or 16-year-old high school kid, and you show up, and there are people in costume. And if you don't know the movie, you don't know why they're in costume. So 15 people dressed like Frankenfurter, that can already be intimidating. And then they start the show.
Trans, and I should say transgendered woman with Laverne Cox, just trans.
Indeed.
You're right, yes.
And so suddenly they start going, okay, do we have any Rocky Horror virgins in the house tonight? And then they symbolically pop a balloon to show that this is your first time. And it's all of these things where it's about an initiation ritual into this world. And once you've been initiated, you feel as if you're a part of it. And it's to some degree the same experience that Brad and Janet go through, or that you're supposed to think they're going through. And it's all about becoming part of that experience. And it's almost impossible to have that same experience if you're just watching something on TV. You're automatically being distanced from it. And that isn't the same as being with the group of people in costume, yelling at the screen, throwing rice, putting newspapers
and toast
over your
and
head.
Newspaper and the whole shebang.
Exactly.
It's constantly being recreated by every audience that sees it at midnight around the country. Fun, camaraderie comes from a combination of that raucous audience participation along with the film itself. And here's a little sound of that, captured on an album from 1983. It goes back. Sal Piro is leading the chant here. He'll be with us in just a moment. Listen in.
Give me an
You can hear it can get pretty wild in the cinema when it's the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That was Sal Piro. He's president of the Rocky Horror Picture Show Fan Club, part of the original group that started audience participation at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Sal Piro joins us now from New York. Sal, thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you, Tom.
Remind us what it was like when this first hit the screen. What pulled you in all the way back in, you name the year, Sal?
Oh, it was in 1976. A friend of mine had seen it at midnight at the Waverly and suggested I go. I was a big movie buff.
Yeah.
So I went to see it, and it was just such an excitement in the theater. I mean, it just, from the moment the lips came on the screen, you knew you were looking at something different. Although I have to say I've never blushed once in the 3,000 or 4,000 times I've seen the movie. But
it all depends where you're coming from, I guess.
Right, right. Well, I was in the Village in New York,
yeah.
So in the 70s.
You were ready.
I was ready. It was one of those magical experiences, and the fact that we loved it and we felt this group in the theater all enjoying this together, we'd come back the next night and then the next week and the week after that. And we started to feel like we were part of the experience, and we started creating these little bits just to amuse ourselves. And then we found out that the theater in Long Island was doing it, and the theater in L.A. was doing it, all the bits that we had started. And it was freaking us out. And we just started to went from doing a little bit to acting out the entire film.
We just got a few seconds before a break here, Sal, and we'll look more at this. But do you think that the Rocky Horror Picture Show has been, over all those decades, somehow important in loosening up American attitudes about sexuality?
Oh, absolutely. I've been preaching that for 30 years. You know, people say things like Will and Grace and opened up the gay and lesbian and all that, blah. But Rocky Horror was doing it in the 70s. And kids, everybody thinks the initial audiences were gay. Well, yeah, in the Village in New York, they were gay. But it was high school kids, straight high school kids, who were going to see Rocky Horror. And some of the boys realized that they'd have a better chance with girls if they dressed as Dr. Frankenfutter. And there was this acceptance, this unbelievable acceptance. And it didn't matter who you were or how you dressed or how big you were, how skinny you were. It didn't matter. You were all going there and enjoying Rocky Horror and experienced this thing.
So I'll stand by there in New York. We'll come right back to it. New Fox reboot last night. Listeners, you can join us. Did you see it? 800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK with Sal Piro, president of the Rocky Horror Picture Show Fan Club, Dan Feinberg at The Hollywood Reporter. Where have we come since 1975? I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the strange and wondrous life of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Back last night, rebooted on Fox Television, a cult favorite for more than 40 years in midnight showings across the country. Now in 2016 on network television. That's Janet behind us, played in 75 by Susan Sarandon. She's singing Toucha, Toucha, Touch Me there. You can join us this hour. Have you done the Rocky Horror Picture Show thing at midnight in full regalia? Have you danced in the aisles and sung along and shouted lines and chimed in and thrown toast and let loose, gone crazy there? Did you watch the Fox show last night? What did you think? Did it capture the magic, the spirit? Did it move it forward? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Dan Feinberg is with us from The Hollywood Reporter. He's been in those live shows. He watched the TV show last night. Sal Piro is with us from New York, president of the Rocky Horror Picture Show Fan Club, part of the crew that got the whole live show thing going way back when. And callers for both of you, Walter in Ponca, Oklahoma. Walter, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Yes, I remember reading about the Rocky Horror Picture Show before it came out. It was panned on Broadway. It was around about the time Jesus Christ Superstar was going on in Hair.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw the live performance. I mean, I saw the performance in the theater. And it was new and basically was sort of exciting because at that time it was the knowledge of what a transvestite was, a transsexual. It was basically people that thought it was a transvestite. And so it was the novelty of seeing that and then them portrayed as aliens added a layer to it as well. But everybody, it was a camaraderie, and it was back when people got along not suing each other, not getting upset for calling someone out of that transgendered, and everybody didn't care, you know. And I saw it done live. Oklahoma is a melting pot of blues, art, music, punk rock, and at that time it was just something different, you know. And so it was. Everybody wanted to get into part of it, and we saw it done live, and the people actually did everything they did at the movie, but these actors had to ignore it or either get lost in their line or forget the script, and so it was very amusing.
Can get pretty wild there, Walter. Memories of early Rocky Horror. Dan Feinberg, Walter mentions Jesus Christ Superstar and Hair, and the musicals of that time, which had a kind of distinctive cast when it came toward culture and change. Do you see Rocky Horror Picture Show in that line?
Oh, very much so. I think at that time, American musicals were trying to figure out how to grasp the counterculture. And already, I mean, we're looking a solid 10 years past when the counterculture began to grow up at that point. But you had all of these shows like Hair, like Jesus Christ Superstar, like Godspell, that sort of found ways to focus on countercultural communities and to contrast them with the Brad and Janets of the world. And definitely Rocky Horror fits into that tradition, and it just takes it to several different logical extremes beyond that.
Yeah, I guess so. Here's a clip from the 1975 version. Tim Curry as Dr. Frankenfurter has sneaked into straight-laced Brad Major's bed disguised as his fiance. Here's what happens when Brad, played by Barry Bostwick, discovers he's been tricked.
Oh, come on, Brad, admit it. You liked it, didn't you? There's no crime in giving yourself over to pleasure. Brad, you've wasted so much time already. Janet needn't know. I won't tell her.
Well, you promise you won't tell.
On my mother's grail.
Transgressive in 1975. Tim Curry, slinky, stilettoed, gartered transvestite. He came back last night in 2016 on network television. Here he is with some sort of a staged audience participation.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey. It seemed a fairly ordinary night when Brad Majors and his fiancée, Janet Weiss, left Denton that late October evening.
Ah, yes, on Fox, no less. And here's Laverne Cox, trans, as Dr. Frankenfurter in the new version, singing Wild and Untamed Thing.
I'm a wild and an untamed thing. I'm a bee with a deadly sting. You get a hit and your mind goes boom. Your heart'll thump and your blood will sing. So let the party and the sound rock on. We're gonna shake it till the light has gone. Roast if my world is mistake for my trouble and burn.
Laverne Cox last night, 2016 on Fox. Sal Piro is with us. Dan Feinberg's here. Emily's calling from Dedham, Maine. Emily, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Did you see it last night? Have you been in the theaters and seen it, the audience, you know, way into it?
I watched the Fox News, I watched the Fox broadcast last night, and I think I'm a little too young to have known it when it first came out, the Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I watched it because it happened to be the only movie at my mom's house that I hadn't seen. I think when I was a teenager, I just randomly popped it in one day and was like, this is odd.
Yeah.
But I really liked it, and obviously Tim Curry is amazing, and can never be replaced really in that role. But watching it last night, I actually really liked it, and I liked it because I wouldn't have just gone out and, I think, rewatched it on my own. I've never gone to the midnight showings. I've known about them, but middle of Maine, I don't know how many showings there are. So I really loved watching it. I think that
Emily, what did you like about it? And was it still, did it feel boundary breaking to you in 2016? Is it or not?
Yeah, I think it did. It did. It made me feel a little uncomfortable. It's very promiscuous, obviously, and I like enjoyed that. I think it pushed some boundaries. And I like Laverne Cox. I think she really embraced her role. And I know in this day and age, people say transgender. She really wants to be focused, I think, on a female. We're so focused on calling people how they prefer to be called. But I love that she embraced the transvestite spectrum and really used her voice to the death, where you could say, like, okay, is this a man? Is this a woman? Is this androgynous being? I really thought it was well done, and I liked it. I don't know why I'm getting so many negative reviews, because I enjoyed watching it.
Emily, I appreciate your call. Sal, I want to see what you thought of it last night. You were there more or less almost at the beginning. Dan Feinberg, what about the reviews for the Fox show?
Which, Sal or me?
Dan, the new Fox show. What about the reviews? We'll go to Sal, see what he thought of it. But first you, about the reviews?
I would say that the reviews have been mixed. I think that a lot of people have been very positive. I think Laverne Cox has gotten very good reviews. And I said nice things about her in my review as well. I think that she does not have Tim Curry's voice. And I think that actually helps her, because she's one of the people in the cast who didn't feel the need to be basically in the same vein and in the same line as in the original. She got to make the songs her own, largely because she couldn't sing them the way that they naturally were supposed to be sung. And I think that's actually a huge advantage she had. I think that Laverne Cox gives a distinctive performance in this, and I appreciated that. I felt that more of the actors I wish had done that, as opposed to trying to be in line with what audiences wanted or expected from the show.
And Sal, what did you think of the new reboot of Rocky Horror?
Well, I liked it. I mean, everybody was afraid at first. They said, oh, God, they're remaking it. You can't remake it. But you know what? There's different characteristics of the different performers who show different ways of doing the things. And I thought there was some groundbreaking stuff on it even last night, because in the pool scene, you actually saw the men kissing, which you don't see in the original. And I'm actually in the movie. I play the photographer.
Yes.
At the very beginning in the wedding scene.
Yes.
I have a little cameo that they honored me with, which was very nice. But I liked it, and I thought some of the people really gave amazing performances. I love Columbia. I love Brandon Janet. I love Riff Raff. I mean, it was just – and Laverne, the social significance alone, even if you don't like her performance, is a great statement. And so I liked it.
Here, by the end of Rocky Horror, square, straight Brad has been transformed by the devious Dr. Frankenfurter. Here's Ryan McCartan as Brad from last night's Rocky Horror, singing of sexual liberation in gold bustier, fishnet, and heels.
It's the army.
From last night's reboot of the Rocky Horror Picture Show on Fox, Dan Feinberg, a lot of people think Fox, they think Fox News, they think conservative. Is it strange at all that the Fox network is putting this on?
I don't think so. I think that Fox as a network has been very edgy and outlandish going all the way back to its very beginnings. I mean, this is the Married with Children network. So they've always attempted to push boundaries. And I think that this is a good musical for them. And I also think it fits in well with Grease as well as sort of a topical musical. They both had popularity at a somewhat similar time. So, no, I don't think it's all that surprising. And I think that this sort of sets apart how Fox is approaching the musical genre versus NBC, which did, as you said, Peter Pan and Sound of Music to start off with, though they're getting a little bit more current this year with Hairspray.
Let's go to Michael, calling from Waterbury, Connecticut. Michael, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hello, how you doing?
Okay, what do you think, Michael?
I don't like the show. I didn't like it when it first came out. I have a deep-rooted personal issue with. I feel like Fox allowing the show to be on at that time kind of confuses kids. You know, it's like not a lot of filters for the children now, and it's not a lot of education about these type of shows. You know, transvestite or like transgender.
Yeah. Oh, Michael, it's getting rough there, but we hear that uncomfortable with this being on Fox. It was on 8 Eastern and then across the country with these kind of issues. I mean, Dan Feinberg, is that an issue for television executives and others in 2016?
I don't think it's that much of an issue. I think it's an issue, obviously, for some viewers. I mean, there's no question that for some viewers, it's going to be an issue like that caller. But I think that the musical itself stands in a way where yes, parents maybe could watch it with kids, but you can explain as much or as little as you want. By the second half of the show, and it becomes extraterrestrials, and there are all of the things that you have to explain under different circumstances. And I think that having conversations is an important thing, and I think that having conversations about the trans community, that's an important thing. That's a valuable thing. So I think having these conversations, and if this musical started those conversations, that's good, because society is having those conversations anyway. So people should be talking about this, and in a context in which it's couched in very, very catchy songs and fun characters and all of that, that's almost a best case scenario to start that conversation.
We're talking about the original Rocky Horror Picture Show and last night's reboot on Fox. Todd in Portland, Maine. Thanks for calling, Todd. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay. What do you see?
Well, I did not see the Fox remake, but as listening to this conversation you've been having, it made me start to think about my own experience with, you know, how my mindset is on transgender, you know, the topic at hand. And I saw the first time I saw it was in 1984, I think, in Portland, Maine, and I think I was 14, and I walked in, and I can remember that same feeling somebody else described of being, oh, my God, what is going on here? I was there to meet girls, you know?
Yep.
And
okay.
The person I actually met, though, that has stayed in my life is a comedian by the name of Ian Harvey, and at the time it wasn't Ian, it was Janet Harvey, and we've stayed friends for years. I don't know if Ian is on Transparent. He's been on some episodes of that. He's fairly well-known transgender comedian.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I hadn't have had that Rocky Horror experience where by the end of the show, I was dancing and having fun, and it was like, hey, this is okay. This isn't, you know, nobody got choked. There was no, I didn't walk out of there scarred for life. But it just really opened my mind up at 14 years old where I could learn to accept things, and consequently ended up with a really, really good friend by the name of Ian Harvey. It was an experience to be had, and I think everybody should have something like that.
Todd, I appreciate your recounting that. Sal Piro, you've been in this world for a long time. Have you seen people's minds opened by this sort of wild scene of the movie and everything going on around it?
Well, what he just said is very typical. You come in and your eyes are wide open. You're like, what have I gotten myself into? But it's amazing how many of them want to come back. I mean, when you ask me if I've seen that happen, I've seen it happen thousands of times. Mm. People who just, they feel like misfits in society, and they come and they're part of it. And that doesn't mean they're going to turn into a transvestite or anything because they like it. It's just the experience and the fun, and it is groundbreaking. We've been saying that over and over.
Judy Berman joins us right now from New York as well, arts and culture writer. Saw the movie the first time in 2000 when she was 16. She's written a piece about the movie headlined, We Live in the World Rocky Horror Created. Judy Berman, welcome to On Point. What do you mean by that?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think, you know, the fact that Rocky Horror was on Fox last night is the biggest indication that we live in the world it created. It's a movie that liberated people for 40 years. And now it's a movie that can actually be enjoyed in the mainstream because what was so transgressive in 1975 doesn't feel that way or doesn't feel as transgressive anymore.
Does it still feel challenging to you? Was the show last night challenging enough? Should it be challenging again as it was in 75 somehow in 2016?
I mean, I'm not sure I'm the best person to speak to how challenging it is just because, you know, I saw it for the first time maybe when I was 14 on a friend's laptop, and we were like the kind of teenagers who went out and looked for that stuff. And by the time I finally made it to a screening a few years later, you know, I was actively looking for weird things to get into and things that sort of confirmed this outsider worldview that I had. So,
Judy, hold that thought. I want to hear more about that. The Rocky Horror Picture Show found a lot of people who were on that pilgrimage, that search, if you will. Judy Berman, stand by. Sal Piro, Dan Feinberg at The Hollywood Reporter. We're talking this out about the strange and wondrous life of the Rocky Horror Picture Show out last night on Fox, rebooted in 2016. You can join us. LGBTQ listeners, what has the Rocky Horror Picture Show meant to you? Did it help set you free, your friends free? Is it passé now? Do we still need it? 800-423-8255. This is On Point.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Blue Apron, providing pre-portioned, fresh ingredients with easy recipes delivered to your door. Check out this week's menu and get three meals free with free shipping at blueapron.com/onpoint. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. We're talking this hour about the strange and wondrous life of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Back last night, rebooted on Fox Television, Network TV, a cult favorite for more than 40 years in midnight showings across the country. Last night, on TVs, in homes, across the country. Behind us right here, Hot Patootie, Bless My Soul. That's Meatloaf as Eddie in the 1975 version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. You can join us this hour. What do you think about the Rocky Horror Picture Show in 2016? Is it passé now? Has it lost its ability to outrage, provoke, enlighten? Do we still need it? Are we a different country, a different culture than when this show first appeared? We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK with Dan Feinberg of The Hollywood Reporter. Sal Piro, he's president of the Rocky Horror Picture Show Fan Club, been there almost from the beginning, and Judy Berman, arts and culture writer, who has watched it and written about what it's meant to our culture, the way we look at sexuality, and all the issues that flow around it. 800-423-TALK. Chris is calling from Chesapeake, Virginia. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, Tom. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So, I grew up right outside of New York in Jersey in the 70s, and when we all turned 18 in 75, we used to jump into the old man's station wagon, group of us, all couples, and we used to drive in to the Waverly Theater in Greenwich Village in New York when Rocky Horror first came out. It played at the midnight show, and we probably went somewhere between 6 and 10 times. And I'll tell you, you know, back in 1975, Greenwich Village at midnight for a bunch of teenagers was not probably the best place for you to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, we knew every note to every song. And I have to say that, the whole idea and the culture of it, it was new to us, but it certainly didn't offend us, and it certainly didn't surprise us. But, you know, it was a great time for a bunch of kids. You know, and by the way, in 1975, the legal drinking age was 18. So, but, you know, it was just quite an experience back then.
What kept you coming back, Chris? Was it about looking at sexuality from different angles? Was it just about freedom? Was it about fun?
You know, it was novelty. It was new, it was unusual. And, you know, we didn't really think of it as homosexual or transgendered as much as just, you know, a rocking good time.
Chris, it's fun to bring all that back and to think of you in the family station wagon headed into Greenwich Village in 1975. I really appreciate your call. Sal, as you say, Chris and his crew were far from the only ones who came back again and again and again.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. I mean, we used to celebrate in the early days somebody's 10th time or 20th time. Now people celebrate their, you know, 2,000th time and 3,000th time. And especially the people around the country who actually perform in casts shadow cast, as they're called, in front of the screen. I mean, they build their own props, and it's unbelievable. The subculture.
So this is the kind of live performance right in front of the screen performance, as the audience is all into it as well. The shadow
cast. Costumes, mm-hmm. dancing, time warp, everything.
John in Buffalo, New York. Thanks for calling, John. You're on.
Yeah. Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm one of those shadow cast performers. I've been doing it now in Buffalo, well, in North Tonawanda at the Riviera Theater for the past 10 years. We get 1,000 people in this place.
Oh, my God.
And I have a cast of, cast, and we, full costume. In fact, I didn't watch the show last night because I was at a rehearsal for our shadow cast performance.
What do you play in the shadow cast, John? What's your role?
I play Frankenfurter.
Oh, you're right out front. And, all right.
Oh, yeah. It is the most exhilarating experience. I mean, it's 1,000 people, the balcony, the big theater, and it's just the rush and the thrill of, and it's a performance. To me, it's I'm a straight guy, so it's not about the sexuality thing, the transvestite thing. It's a costume. It's a performance. It's the most incredible performance.
You're a straight guy. What's your costume look like, John, playing Dr. Frankenfurter?
Oh, it varies throughout the whole show. I have like 5-6 costume changes. It starts off with the cape and the blue a corset. It moves to the medical gown. moves to the floor show red corset and the whole thing. We go all out.
And it sounds like a good time. Are you glad Fox has rebooted this on television or not? How do you feel about it as a shadow cast performer?
I feel that's a horrible idea. I mean, I'm not a big fan of it. I didn't see it, so I won't comment about it. But it's not necessary, in my opinion. Rocky Horror is a beautiful thing, and it should be that beautiful thing. And let it be. Let it have what it is, and don't tarnish it with something different, new, revamped, rebooted. I love it for what it is, and just let it be would have been my opinion.
Yeah,
but, hey.
Yeah, good luck with that, John. You know how things roll, but I really appreciate your call from Buffalo, New York. Judy Berman, you've expressed some ambivalence about the fact that this is now on network television. Where's that ambivalence come from?
I mean, I think what John was just saying about how we keep rebooting old ideas is a little bit worrisome. On the other hand, I think, as sort of a victory lap for Rocky Horror, it's a wonderful thing to see it as something that the whole country can appreciate.
And what about the mainstreaming of, in no small part, of the ideas that are there that were once so transgressive? Are you glad to see that? Are you not? Or what?
I am glad to see that. I think, obviously, as a culture, we've made a lot of progress on queer and trans issues in the past 5 to 10 years. But I think the thing that's different about Rocky Horror is that it's not just about, accepting gay marriage or being tolerant. It's about acknowledging that sexuality and gender are a broader spectrum and are more fluid and flexible and performative even than we tend to talk about in the mainstream.
But even that becoming more mainstreamed now, if you're at the show, at a live show, the kind that our caller from Buffalo does, the audience is participating, they've got lines inserted into the movie or between the lines that come from the screen. Being part of that performance, including being in costume, has created this sense of community for fans. Here's a recording from one midnight showing with the audience chiming in on a scene with the two squares, Brad and Janet. The audience can get even raunchier, more outrageous than the film itself, but here's a family-friendly selection.
Oh, Brad, wasn't it wonderful? Didn't Betty look radiantly beautiful? Oh, I can't believe it. An hour ago, she was plain old Betty Monroe, and now she's Mrs. Ralph Hapshatt.
Yes, Janet, Ralph's a lucky guy.
No, he's not. She's got sick.
I always cry at weddings.
So do I, honey.
There's the scene, and it is a scene at the Rocky Horror Picture Show Live, Steve, in Middletown Springs, Vermont. Steven, thank you for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, what do you think?
I did not see last night's new Fox showing, but just hearing everybody calling in and talking about Rocky Horror, it kind of brought up an old memory for me. I probably saw it for the first time when I was 10 or 12 years old. It was one of my father's favorite movies, and he quoted it all the time, and he wanted me to know where the quotes come from. But I grew up in a conservative family, non-religious, but as a young, as a gay teenager, I was not out, I was in the closet, and watching that movie for the first time, for me, it created a stigma that, you know, that was how somebody would see me, you know, dancing around in fishnets and, being an alien, and it just, for me, made the process of coming out and accepting who I am a lot harder. And I know it was because I was a kid and didn't understand, the jokes and the farcical, nature of the movie. But that's how I assumed everybody would see me, including my friends and other, other teenagers in high school. To me, it made it a much longer process.
That is interesting. Hang on, Stephen. Sal Piro, if you can engage with Stephen here, this is interesting that for him, that sort of over-the-top burlesque vision of alternative sexuality made it harder for him to come out as a teenager.
Well, everybody's different, mm-hmm. and everybody reacts to things differently. He has grown up and has said he looks at things differently now. You don't know when you come from a conservative family. Things are ingrained in you. You have certain fears that are put in your head. I've seen people back in the early days. As much as I enjoyed all the people who found Rocky Horror stimulating and wonderful and opened their eyes, there were people who wanted to come and bash the heads of the the fruits who are in the audience dressed in bras and slips and corsets. So you're going to – everybody's different. But luckily for us, they became in the minority because right now Rocky Horror has really almost in a sense become so mainstream.
Mm. Here's an email from Patrick. He says, oh, Tom, I think in future years some may come to view Rocky Horror as late 20th century minstrelsy. It has very little to do, he writes to us, with the lived lives of lesbian and gay and transgender people, and more to do with giving straight people some sort of safe, subversive thrill. Maybe so. That's one view. From 1975, here's I Can Make You a Man. Tim Curry is Dr. Frankenfurt singing and fantasizing about the muscular man he's going to bring to life.
And with massage and just a little bit of steak. He'll be pink and quite clean. He'll be a strong man.
Oh, yeah. Tim Curry, 1975. Kurt in Sharon, Massachusetts. Kurt, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Tom, thanks for having me on. And also, I just want to say it is a bit of an honor to be on the line also with Sal.
Great. Great. Sal Piro, kudos to you. Kurt, what do you think?
Okay, one of the things I just want to cover, first off, I have been a fan of Rocky, lost my virginity 28 years ago. It's been a huge part of my life. One of the things that, inspired me to do was go to college for theater. And one of the things I want to go over is the historical significance of Rocky Horror. It was mentioned that it is a burlesque. And what's interesting is that burlesque originally was just a satire either of famous plays, like, for example, in the 19th century in England, they would do Hamlet but call it Omelette and maybe perform it very silly with some commedia dell'arte, etc.
Yep.
But it was also used for social commentary, etc. And the most famous one is actually mentioned in Rocky at the end, where Janet sings God Bless Lily St. Cyr, because Lily St. Cyr did a burlesque about sexuality in the late 19th century and was famous for a burlesque of women in pink tights, which then, carried over to the U.S. And in the U.S., we really just know burlesque as, a sexual subversive thing because of that. So I – and shall we say, is probably the most famous burlesque in all of theatrical history.
Certainly in this country, England with a long tradition there, France, and many more as well. Kurt, I appreciate your call. One more while we can. Candy in Clarksville, Tennessee. Candy, thanks for calling. You're on.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
My parents met at Rocky Horror Picture Show in 1975, and I am the result of that.
Okay.
And I was exposed to it my entire life. I went to hundreds of shows between 17 and 22
when I
moved away from Seattle.
Okay.
So it's an important part of my life. I don't see it as anything but what it is, which is a great time. Yes, growing up in Seattle, I'm colorblind, genderblind, sexuality blind.
And what your parents sort of found or made you coming out of this show, what about you? Do you have family that are you going to pass it on,
yes.
Candy?
I have a 21-year-old daughter who recorded the show last night for me. I haven't seen it yet, who recorded it for me. And after my 15-year-old daughter's football game tonight, we're going to watch it.
In Clarksville, Tennessee. Wow, that's great. Candy, thank you very much for calling. Sal, there you go. It's everywhere. It's in the air. Now it's on network television.
Yes, it is.
Does it at some point outlive its tanginess? Does it at some point become yesterday's thing, Sal?
Well, it's a coming of age for Brad and Janet, and it's also coming of age for the fans and the future fans. I mean, this woman, her parents gave birth to her from Rocky Horror, and now she has daughters who are watching it. So as we used to say, as you become old enough to go out to a midnight movie, we've got a whole new generation that have come in.
Judy Berman, is the joy still in it there for you? Will you go and see it live or off TV again?
Yeah, I might. I mean, every time I watch Rocky Horror, it's just as fun as the first time, I think. I don't know if it feels as subversive anymore, but I think if it's something that was a big part of your coming of age, it's something that's always meaningful to you.
Dan Feinberg, backlash today after the Fox showing, or this is just part of America now?
I think this is just part of America, and I think the callers have given such a great number of stories about this wonderful thing that Sal and his friends and colleagues have spawned and created, and I think it's been nice to hear.
Dan Feinberg with The Hollywood Reporter joining us from Culver City, California today at NPR West. Dan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Judy Berman, thanks for joining us today, Judy.
Thank you.
And Sal Piro, there from the beginning, with us today from New York. Thank you so much for being here, Sal.
With absolute pleasure.
We go out with Time Warp from the 1975 version of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Put your hands on your hips.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.